Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon.
Church you have. Boy, I'll tell you, the lobby is gorgeous, and what you've did up here, and just everything here is just, it's really, really nice. But let me just caution you, it's not the building that makes this a great church. Too many times people have spent a lot of money on the building, and they've lost sight of what was important, trying to please the community, and a good and first impression, and all that's important. But don't forget, it's the Lord. Amen? To be sensitive to the leading of the Lord and what he wants from you. And I know you haven't lost that. Some of you don't know who I am. Some of you don't know all that you've done for me through the years. You've been a great encouragement. I started coming here. I told my wife, we're not in a big hurry today, are we? One lady's gone. When we first came here, we had just started the ministry about 15, 16 years ago. And it was within probably the first year of us going into the prison ministry after quitting my job at General Motors. And it was a scary time a little bit, but the pastor said, come on, come. And we couldn't find the church because I believe both sides of the highway is 11-mile road, isn't it? It was a Wednesday night, and it must have been the time of year where it was dark because it was dark. Church was at 7. It was dark. We couldn't find the church. We were on the other side of the highway. Driving up and down the highway, up and down the other side of this highway, my wife cussing, and you don't know it, but she was mad at me. She didn't get good enough instructions. I'm like, I'm on 11-mile road. No, that's not true. I'm the one that gets mad. She just gets quiet, amen. And we had our three kids with us, and just coming to Warren, we're from up that side of the state where there's no people. Just coming down here is enough to make you nervous. Say amen right there. There's too many cars, too many people for us. And we got lost, and it's getting close to 7 o'clock, and we're all nervous. It was raining. It was dark. And we finally realized there's another 11-mile on the other side of the highway, and we found the church. And we come in here, and some of you were here then, and some of you were in that service. But there was only about, the church was down to maybe 20, 25, I think. It was real low. And the pastor had made a mistake and booked two missionaries on a Wednesday night. And he had forgot either one of them was coming. And so I come, and he's like, oh, visiting with us. And I'm like, no, I'm the missionary. Oh, yeah, well, come on in. And then pretty soon I saw another missionary come in. One thing you never want to do as a missionary is have to split 25 people with another missionary. And especially when you got a big church like this and there's just a few people. But my wife and girls got up to sing. And back then they had microphones, and they gave them all microphones. And she stepped on the cord, and when she pulled her hand up, the microphone fell. Boom! And I just thought, that's it. We're done, you know. But I tell you what, that was a long time ago. In a whole different circumstance. And boy, has the Lord blessed you. You've been a great encouragement to us through the years. And I just wanted to say that today, that we sure do appreciate you. You speak so highly of us, and I don't know why, but we sure do love you. And so with that, let me tell you one of the blessings I've got in the ministry. There was a, if you can, while I'm speaking, find 1 Kings 19. And There's one of the prisons that I've worked for a long time. It's called Pontiac Correctional Facility. It's a maximum secure prison in the state of Illinois. And it's where they house death row inmates back when Illinois had death row. They don't anymore. And we were one of the first groups. I was one of the first volunteers that they ever allowed to go back into death row unsupervised to work with the men there. And at that time, there was maybe 100 to 150 men sitting on death row waiting to be executed. And this was back in the mid-90s. And there was a man there. I won't tell you his name, but there was a man there. I'll tell you, it's Theodore. There was Theodore that I met. And Theodore was a crazy man. He really was. He was crazy. The first time I met him, He was a professed devil worshiper. He was in prison. He told me what he was in prison for. I didn't believe him, but I checked later and found out it was true. He was in prison for killing people, chopping them up, and eating them. He was a very, very, he was crazy. I meet a lot of people. Some act to be crazy. Some really are. He really was, or at least I thought he was. And every year I met him, we actually started a relationship. I didn't like him very much, and he didn't like me very much. That's a start. He knew what I stood for, and I knew what he tried to do. He mocked God and mocked the Lord, but I kept going back and seeing him every time I was there. And every time I walked up, he would say, "Back again, eh, preacher?" I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "Well, you're not getting to me today." He said, "Not today." And I would say, "Okay." And we would chit-chat, and I would move on. It's been over 15 years now we've been seeing Theodore. And I didn't go the last couple of times. Brian, my son-in-law, did it. But Brian told me last time he came back, he said, "You'll never guess, Theodore got saved." I didn't quite believe it. I said, "Well," I said, "the guy's pretty good at manipulating what you want to hear." I said, "All right, I hear what you say." He said, "I didn't lead him for the Lord." He said, "I went in there and you wouldn't believe him. I got a letter from Theodore yesterday, or Thursday, and it was a sweet letter. Maybe I should have brought it, but I believe Theodore did get saved. He lost his, he was real close to his mother had abandoned him, but he was raised by his grandmother, and he was real close to her, and when she died, she was a Christian. In the last letter of her that he ever received, I didn't see it, but it really affected Theodore. And through all, this is what he said to me. He said, "Through all the preaching and tracts that I have gotten from you and other people," he said, "I have realized that I needed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." He is completely different. Boy, I'll tell you what, I am so happy for Theodore. I say that to say this. You can mark that down because of your generosity to us. That's one more soul that has reached the kingdom of heaven to your credit. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. Well, 1 Kings, I normally don't drink on the job, but whoa. Mm. 1 Kings, chapter 19. I'm going to give you a message this morning. Let me tell you the title to it. Man, let me read the scripture first. 1 Kings, chapter 19. Look in verse number 1. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and moreover, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he had saw that, he arose and he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Verse number 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, 'It is enough.'" You know, we've all read this many times, and it's really not part of the message this morning, but I did say one time in my devotion, what would cause Elijah to say to God, "It's enough. I've had enough"? He had just went through a great victory. I love the victory. If you haven't read the tremendous victory at Mount Carmel, I mean, it was awesome, and he just went through that. But yet now we find him out of a juniper tree saying, "I'm done." Well, let me just tell you a little bit before I get to the message why I think that Elijah just ran out of steam. I'll tell you why. Look here in verse number 14 of 1 Kings 19. "And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken my covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword.' Now listen, and I only am left." Can I just tell you something? You're on dangerous ground when you think you're the last one doing what's right. You're in a dangerous place when you look around and you say, I'm the only one doing what's right. I'm the only one paying my taxes. I'm the only one not cheating the IRS. I'm the only one that don't have a stash of liquor hidden in my house. I'm the only one that's tithing. I'm the only one. Be careful when you get to the point where you think you're the only one that's doing what's right here. Because with that will come depression, like Elijah. Elijah said, God, everybody's turned their back. Nobody's. I hear this all the time. Preacher, ain't nobody soul winning anymore. Preacher, nobody's doing it the old-fashioned way anymore. Nobody's singing the hymns anymore. Can I just remind you? The Bible says, I won't read it, but the Bible says, in a couple verses later, it says, there's 7,000 that ain't bowed a knee to Baal in one place. Can I just remind you tonight, or this morning, if you think that you're carrying the load for God all by yourself, can I just remind you that there are a lot of other people still doing what's right? There's still a lot of other churches out there that are still singing hymns and preaching out of the King James Bible. Not all of them, but there are some. Don't ever get to a place. I hang around with men, some that think that they're the last of the dying breed of the old-time preachers. No, we're not. There's a lot of them. Hey, I still stand places where young men are still preaching it, right? Hey, our Bible colleges, they're not all went to waste. There's still Bible colleges out there teaching men what's right and what's wrong. Don't think that it's all gone away. It's not. And that's what happened to Elijah. I always liked the cameraman. I move around so much, you ought to see him back there. He's like this. You're going to make him seasick. Just back it up. Amen. But that's not the message this morning. Let me give you the message, and we'll pray and we'll get started. Take your Bibles right there and look in verse number 11. I just want to remind you, because sometimes I have to remind myself. You know, I go to a lot of churches still. And sometimes even my wife and I will sit in a church and we'll look around and everybody's sleeping. Nobody's paying any attention. There's no laughter anymore. There's no feeling anymore. I go to the gym some mornings and I work out next to an older man. And he said it, I didn't. He said, preacher, you know what's missing today? I said, what's that? He said, feelings. I said, what? He said, when's the last time you felt something at church? Too many churches today have got to a point where people come out of duty and they leave the same way they came in. And I said to him, I said, you know, that's right. And I like to come to church where there's some feelings, amen? I like good feelings, but I'll take your orneriness if I have to, amen? Just something. 1 Kings 19:11, the Bible says, and he said, go forth and stand upon a mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I'm going to preach you a message this morning. Learning to listen. Learning to listen. Father, we sure do love you this morning. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the updates they did on it. But Lord, I'm thankful today that there's still a smiling face in the pew. There's still a laughter. Father, there's still a joy in the lobby as people come and go. The Sunday school departments are full. Lord, thank you that there's there's still a place here that we can come and just feel something. And Lord, I know it's not all about feelings, but it's good to feel good when you come to church. And so, Lord, we don't take it for granted this morning. I'd ask that you would bless the pastor as he's away. Lord, I pray you give him a great, great trip back and his journey, the rest of his time there in Florida. And then, Father, I pray that for the service today, Lord, that it's just not another sermon, just another 30 minutes. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen. Learning to listen. Let me give you just four voices that the Lord uses. Now, please don't leave and tell somebody that the preacher hears voices. But the Lord does use different voices. Let me just run through four of them today that I believe we can get something out of. Number one, the first voice that I've heard is called the shepherd's voice. Now take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. And let me tell you about the shepherd's voice. The shepherd's voice. In John chapter 10, in verse number 27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. You know, I thought about that. God calls us sheep in many places of the Bible. And so I'd never done this before, so I just started studying a little bit about sheep. I don't know. Has anybody here ever raised sheep? One. I never have. We had a farm at one time in our life, and we had a horse, and we had some pigs and chickens and cats and dogs, but we never had any sheep. Let me just read you about sheep. These are not biblical facts. These are sheep facts. Sheep do not think well for themselves. Sheep are social animals. They follow the leader. Sheep are easily frightened. Sheep are vulnerable. A lost sheep is quickly a dead sheep. Sheep, although social animals, sheep are completely self-centered. Now you know why he calls us sheep, amen? Sheep, listen to this. Sheep, I don't know how they know this, but sheep have short attention spans. Say amen right there. And I learned something else about sheep. Looking it up, I asked Mr. Google. He knows about everything, don't he? My wife used to think I was smart. Now she asks me things, and I go, "Ask Mr. Google, I don't know. He always knows." But I asked Mr. Google something about sheep, and I heard this reoccurring fact all the time, and it was this. Sometimes shepherds have sheep. They call a group of sheep. What do they call a group of sheep? A flock. Yeah, we call a church a flock sometimes, too. Sometimes shepherds have sheep that they won't stay in the flock. The shepherd goes and he brings them back to the flock, and a little while later they leave the flock, and he brings them back. And after two, three, four times of doing that, this is what the shepherds wrote. Every once in a while you have to take a sheep like that, and the shepherd breaks its leg. That's pretty mean, ain't it? He takes and purposely breaks the leg of that sheep. Then he picks it up and he carries that sheep until it's all right again. Every account that I read about that, you know what the shepherd said? That sheep never leaves his side again. Never again will that be a wandering sheep. I wonder sometimes if that isn't what happens to us. Oh, we get to thinking that we know everything and can do anything, and we get away from the church and outside of the will of God for our life, and then you hear about something bad happening, and then we come back. I don't know if that's the case with you or not, but I thought that to be very interesting sheep facts. But I want to tell you today, I'm thankful for the shepherd's voice, amen? The shepherd's voice. The shepherd that is willing to intervene on his sheep's behalf. I'm thankful for that, amen, that we've got a shepherd's voice. The second voice this morning is called the master's voice. I'm thankful for the master's voice in Luke chapter 19. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 19, verse number 13. In Luke 19, I see here the master's voice. That shepherd's voice is a one that we follow. That master's voice is the voice that's in charge. In Luke chapter 19, in verse number 13, it says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy until I come." That was the master. That was the one that was in charge. Can I tell you this morning, the master's voice is the one that's in charge. I'm thankful this morning that he's having me occupy, having you occupy, till he comes. Can I tell you something to this morning? He's coming back again. Can I tell you that we don't think about it? We're worried about the price of gas. Isn't it ridiculous right now? $4.20 a gallon, that's crazy. It's always an all-time high when I fill my tank up, and in the numbers, pretty soon it was two digits and four digits, and pretty soon it'll be five digits, amen. And I'm always amazed at that. But you know what? He's in charge. He'll provide. But as I was thinking about the Master's voice, I was thinking about the second coming this week. I was thinking about heaven. You know, we don't really think about heaven that much, do we? I know I don't. We get consumed in everyday issues, and we forget just how sweet heaven's going to be. Have you thought about it lately, how nice it's going to be? Not to worry about taxes or politicians or income problems or health problems. Is it going to be nice someday not to have any physical problems? Can I tell you that man seeks after gold? I mean, have you seen the commercials lately about gold? Wish I would have bought some years ago. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's skyrocketing, ain't it? They're trying to tell you middle-aged older folks to cash in all your bonds and buy what? Gold. Can I tell you, in heaven, God uses it to pave the road. Precious stones are so valuable. I mean, rubies and diamonds and emeralds and sapphires. The women just go, oh. Amen. Can I tell you, in heaven, he's building, they're building materials. He builds walls out of them. Can I tell you that in oftentimes we think about heaven being some long church service. It's not what heaven's going to be about. There won't be need for church. We come here to get out of the world and to come together as a group and to be edified and corrected. We won't need that in heaven. Yeah, I've had young people say, "Preacher, will there be roller coasters in heaven?" Well, don't shake your head no. You don't know that. There might be. But I promise you, if there's roller coasters, they'll be the best there ever was. Hey, preacher, will there be golf courses in heaven? I don't know. But if there is, they'll be perfect. And you'll shoot a perfect round. And listen, guys, there won't be no more liars cutting off strokes, amen? I golf with some of them guys. You know, nine swings, they got a five. Don't know how that happened. Listen. We don't think enough about heaven and how sweet it's going to be. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more bitterness and angry and lies and no more. It's just so sweet. And that's why sometimes as Christians, we're sometimes down in the dumps. Think about heaven and how sweet it's going to be. And you know what we're going to hear one day soon? The Master's call. Hey, the Master's call. Listen, the shepherd's voice, the Master's voice. Looking forward to that. Thirdly, the Savior's voice. Boy, I'm thankful for the Savior's voice. You know what the word Savior means? To save. To save. To purify. I'm thankful for that Savior's voice. That Savior's voice to me, turn over to Matthew chapter 11 this morning. That Savior's voice to me is that one when I feel like I can't go on. When everything starts closing in around me. It's that Savior's voice that comes to me in the middle of the night. The Savior's voice. And Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And look what it says. "And I'll give you rest." I thought about rest. You know, no matter what we do, you guys have a softball team? Yes? Are you any good? Even if you love softball, you know what you like more than softball? The rest afterwards. You really do. You get out there on a hot night and you play really good or you play really bad. It doesn't matter, but you give it all you got and you love softball. You say, "Preacher, I love softball. I love everything about softball." I'll tell you what you like more. That's like when you go home and take a shower and sit down with an ice cold Pepsi-Cola. and you get a little rest. Hey, whatever you like to do, you preacher, I like to golf. I love to golf. I eat, sleep, and drink golf. I love golf. I'll tell you something else. You like the rest after golf more than you really like golf. It's that rest. You know what? A weary soul likes rest. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You know, if as we go through life and as we go through disappointments and heartaches and trials, I'm thankful that we have the Savior's voice that says, come on. And I don't think we quite understand what it's going to be like when we get to see him. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a rest like no rest. That's the Savior's voice. I'm thankful for the Savior's voice. Let me give you the teacher's voice. I like the shepherd's voice, and I like the master's voice. I like the Savior's voice, but let me tell you about the teacher's voice. Turn to John chapter 14 with me this morning. John chapter 14. What'd you do with all the clocks? You don't have a clock in here, do you? Oh, yeah, I see it now. It's not right. Don't worry about that clock. The teacher's voice, John chapter 14. I'm almost done. John chapter 14. Let me tell you about the teacher's voice. Because I like the teacher's voice. The Bible says, John chapter 14, verse number 16. The Bible says, verse number 16, says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Is that word capitalized in your Bible? What does it mean when you capitalize a word? A person, proper, the comforter. I want to talk to you about the comforter, the teacher's voice. That he may abide with you. What's the next two words? Say it again. I can't hear you. One more time. Forever, forever, and forever, the Bible says. And verse number 17 says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be what? In you. Now you say, preacher, what is that comforter? Look over verse number 26. But the comforter, which is the? One more time. The Holy Ghost. Now I know where I'm at. I'm in a fundamental King James Bible church, and I just said Holy Ghost three times. Uh-oh, preacher. Baptists have been getting scared away from the word Holy Ghost. We have ran from it at times. We don't want to be pegged as somebody that's a holy roller. Oh, preacher, wait a minute now. Oh, listen to me. It's in the Bible. But the problem is this, and we sometimes don't get it right. You know where the Holy Ghost is today? According to the scripture, it's in us. And sometimes we pray that we meet with the Holy Ghost and we do a lot of things. But listen, the Bible's very clearly, the Bible says it's in you. Now, I know that probably none of you think like a lot of the prisoners that I deal with, but in prison, over 50, 60% of the men that are locked up and the ladies that are locked up, they believe you can lose your salvation. You get it, you lose it, you get it, you lose it, you get it, and you lose it. And it is a very hot subject about that. And I'm finding it's that way sometimes in our churches too. Now listen, the Bible's very clear here. Jesus calls the Holy Ghost a comforter. And he says that it'll be with you forever. It also says it'll be in you. Verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now listen, if you're sitting here this morning and you believe that you can sin away your salvation, that if you do something bad enough, you'll be in a lost state, can I tell you, by just using common sense, and then I'll use the Bible, when you need God the most, when things are messed up in your life, don't you? When you get sideways with your boss, or you have a problem in life, or you fall off the wagon, that's when you need God the most. Are you trying to tell me that when you need him the most, he leaves you? No. No, that doesn't even make common sense, let alone biblical sense. The comforter, verse number 16, that he may abide with you forever. Verse number 17, shall be in you. Verse number 18, he'll not leave you comfortless. Look at verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At the day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Listen, back in John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If you keep reading it, it says that, turn back there, John chapter 10, you're just a few pages back. I'll show you this. It says in verse number 28, and I will give unto them eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. And they shall never perish. How long's never? Now listen, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You're any man. You can't get out of the Father's hand. I make more people mad saying that. Why in the world would that make you mad? If you're sitting here today and you say, I'm getting mad. Why? Because somebody has told you that you could lose your salvation and I'm telling you you can't? Why would you want to lose it? My word, the only good thing I've got going in this life outside of this woman right here is knowing that God will never leave me, even when I mess up. Look, let me read one. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse number 28, my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I say all that. Turn back to John chapter 14. I say all of that because guess what the job of the Holy Spirit is? Glad you asked. John chapter 14, verse number, I'm almost done, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall what? Teach. Listen, he shall teach you. What voice are we listening for? The teacher's voice. He will teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. Listen to me this morning. I'm thankful not only for the shepherd's voice, but for the master's voice, for the Savior's voice. But I'm thankful this morning for the teacher's voice. See, it's that teacher's voice that when I mess up, it's the teacher's voice that says, you sure you want to do that? Last time you did that, it didn't work out so good. You sure you want to go down that road? That's the teacher's voice. He's in you. If you're born again, he's in there. Now, let me put it all together for you. The reason I said all that I've said this morning. Are you listening to the voice? Have you trained your ear and your heart to listen for that voice? Because, see, Elijah said that he listened to it in an earthquake and he didn't find it. Elijah said, I watched the rocks fall and I listened for it and I couldn't hear it. He said, I listened for it in a fire and I couldn't hear it. You know when you'll listen? You know when you'll hear it? In a still, small voice. A still, small voice. Have you ever been in a crowded room and a little girl or a little boy someplace is talking and they're never heard by anybody? You ever been there? I have. Have you ever had laryngitis and you could hardly get a word out and you tried to say something but nobody heard you because everybody's doing this? It's the way it is with God sometimes. He's speaking to our hearts. He still does it, but we're too busy doing all the other things. Can I tell you this morning? Learn to listen. Let me be personal with you. If I could get the piano player to come, we'll go to invitation in a minute. I don't know this, and I'm not saying this just to say it. I'm not. But there are people in here, listen, there are people in this room right here this morning, you haven't been listening. You ain't been listening. You're getting involved in things that you shouldn't be involved in. You're this far away from real big trouble. And you're not listening. He's speaking to you. Even this morning, he's speaking to you. And you know, I've been around young people. I say young people because they're more eager to say it than an adult. But I've had young people say this to me. Not now. They hope that, it's ironic. They literally do this. I'm saying something to them and they'll literally do this. I want to hear it. And there's not a doubt in my mind, there are people in this room, that even yet today you've said, not now. Not my sin. Not my little thing. And can I just tell you this morning, you're about that far away. Will you listen this morning? I don't know what it is. I'm not a fortune teller. And God don't reveal to me anything. Honestly, he just told me what to preach this morning, what to say, and I believe I've been obedient as sure as I'm standing here. But you're not listening. You better listen. He'll never lead you where you're not following him, but you got to listen. You got to listen.
If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.